Well, today, Emergent Cricket is joined by Abhiram Singh Yadav, the Vice Chairman of Indonesia Cricket. G'day. How's it going?
It's good. It's a good day here. Thank you.
Yes, we're on the sidelines of Indonesia's game, so if Abhiram gets a bit excited, that's what's going on. So to start off with, I thought I'd just ask, can you give us a bit of an overview of the cricket scene in Indonesia? You know, what the domestic structure is like, what all the leagues are, that sort of thing.
Great. Well, we have a board which consists of 100% Indonesians. And in the last 4 years especially, well, cricket has been played in Indonesia since 25 years, but it has been locally boosted in the last 5 years. And since we have taken over the board, today we have cricket introduced to 80,000 locals throughout Indonesia. And then 8,000 active cricket players, but mostly are still young. We have cricket as a compulsory in local schools. So we're developing cricket in the grassroots, and both for the male and female. The interesting is the ratio of male and female cricketers is 50-50 within the Indonesian citizens. Right now our women are ranked 22 in the world. And we have defeated a few countries like Hong Kong, Bhutan, Korea, Malaysia, Singapore, and I think that's the one we have played so far. We are also a silver medalist of the SEA Games for the women, and for the boys, we are the bronze medalist of the Southeast Asian Games. And this is a few things we have done in the last 5 years.
So how many, I guess, teams and leagues are there in Indonesia?
Well, cricket, we have sub boards in 18 provinces from a total of 32 provinces. So each province, they have their own league played by the locals. But major two leagues are in Jakarta and Bali. In Jakarta is called the Jakarta Cricket League. In Bali is called the Bali Cricket League. But we also have national championships for the seniors, which is between the province, and for the male and female, and then junior championships and other university students' championships. These are our annual programs throughout the year.
So you mentioned that universities. Right. What's going on with that? Because I've heard from both Japan and the Philippines that getting cricket into unis is a big step too.
Yes. So one of the university, for example, in Jakarta, they have cricket as part of the curriculum. So apart from them playing cricket, it's also part of the sports curriculum. This is also now being started in other provinces as well, but in Jakarta itself, it has been for the last 7 years. So the interest is quite good, because once they have a batch of cricket and then the new batch comes, people keep on joining. So that it's growing well in universities. And usually the chairs of the cricket in the province level, sometimes they're the dean of the university, so they promote
so
the cricket there.
Synergy.
Yes, and because it's played it also in the Indonesia, we have a national games, it's like a mini Olympic of within province Indonesia, so cricket is one of that. So it's been supported by the local governments of each provinces.
As well as universities, I assume you're trying to get into schools. How's that going for you?
We are already into schools. One of the examples is Bali. In Bali, nearly all the elementary schools and the junior high schools from the government schools, they're already having cricket as an extracurricular. So that's growing in other provinces in Borneo, in Kalimantan. It's also growing, and also in West Java. So our target is the elementary school, because we have an ambition 10 years from now we want to play test match, and these elementary students we hope for the future.
That's very ambitious. So the elementary schools you're talking about, what's the pathway for, so kids decide, oh, I like cricket, what do they do, like how do they play?
Right, it's interesting. We tried, I'll take an example from a small local school in a village in Bali. So we went to socialize cricket, and then they played a few match, and the kids are getting excited by themselves, until we faced an issue, because the kids' parents were complaining. They were complaining why their sons or their daughters are not elected into a team. So it's becoming interesting there. And this is happening throughout Indonesia, because there's a lot of population of 250 million, and especially in the rural areas, the excitement of an alternative sport, a part of soccer, cricket is being part of it, because it's a team game.
Yes.
It involves more people, it's a fair play game, and surprisingly, we're not a Commonwealth country, but it's been accepted in a wide range. Also, the media has been trying to expose it quite well as well.
Could you talk a bit about that media exposure? Because that would be very important for helping cricket get some more...
More popular. Every week, we have a good relationship with media. And it happened to be our chairman is a member of parliament. So that also helps. So nearly every week, we will have at least 10 or till 15 medias covering up any events in cricket, maybe a league match or some development match or coaching training. That consists of electronic media, online media, papers, and radio, and sometimes TV. So they have a good eagerness. We also make a workshop for reporters just to understand what cricket is, so they know how to
talk about it.
So these small things we're doing in the last 4 years. We just started, but hopefully it goes well.
And would you say that you're making progress in, I guess, breaking into the Indonesian consciousness with cricket?
Yes, we're spreading the consciousness and especially the awareness. Because the method we are promoting cricket in Indonesia, as Indonesia soccer is very famous. So we're promoting cricket as an alternative sport for Indonesians to play cricket and can do something in the international level for the nation. So that's how we're branding it.
So just on that, playing internationally, we're here for the qualifying tournament for the World T20.
Yes.
What's the, I guess, top level setup? You know, is it professional? Are there contracts, or is it still amateurs, semi-pro?
Good question. I'm not sure how to explain that. For sure, they're not yet professional because they don't have any contracts. They're playing with the spirit for the nation. Mostly are all Indonesian locals. We do get support for governments, but that's not yet. The amount is not big yet. It's most by program. Before our preparation for here, we had camps in Bali. We went for a short camp to Sri Lanka. They did some friendly. It helped a lot. I can see their performance from before the setup of the training, especially if I compare to the EAP last year in Bendigo. It's quite far, and we were unlucky to win the first three match, but I think they're boosting up again, and I hope they can maximize the rest of the games for the T20I status.
Because the ranking points, when T20 international status comes in, the ranking points are backdated, so these matches are all really important.
All very important.
And just on that, T20 international status being awarded, how has that affected, I guess, the cricket program in Indonesia and the high performance aspect of it?
Yeah, for the men's, we're still waiting for the T20I ranking, which will be in January, I think. But for the women's, it's already out, and we're ranked 22. It has been an excitement for the players, of course, but for us as the management, it has made us a plan, a long-term plan. We have already made plans for 1 year high performance camp, 3 years high performance camp, and again 5 years performance camp. So we're planning into maximize full high performance for women's at the moment while waiting for the men's result. And we have a good potential there, and hopefully our target is to have between 5 to 8 internationals every year, so hopefully that can boost, because more matches is important.
And what are some of those, I guess, more long-term vision plans that you've got going?
Well, as I said earlier, our 10-year plan is test match, and I believe this voice can do it. Maybe the next generation, the younger generation, that's why we plan them from elementary school. When they get a little bit higher, we'll maybe send them partly to India, partly to Singapore. Partly to Sri Lanka, partly to Australia or to England, get more experience. And I think Indonesia being a test match player in the after 10 years, it'll benefit also the cricket world, because we have 250 million people, which will be a good spectator. And sports, as cricket is always a way to promote a healthy life, far from drugs, far from gambling, and doing positive things. So this is how we're planning it. But of course, we're structuring our long-term plan.
So just on that 10-year plan to reach test status, what are some steps along the way that you're looking to achieve?
First step is, right now we're constructing a professional cricket ground in Indonesia. It will have 7 lanes, and it'll be turf also and synthetic as well.
Turf and synthetic.
At the same time, we're also making the accommodation for 300 people to stay, and that's where we will start our few batches of national team, the senior national team, male, female, the under 19 male, female, the under 15 male, female, and we will start from there. We made it in the high hills, so it's far from the city for them to focus. And yeah, this is the first step we're starting. And of course, we will also work on our sponsorship, because sponsorship is very important. Mm. So yeah, right now we're in the process of branding and preparing the base camp in order to develop ahead.
Do you have any sponsors at the moment, or are you still looking?
At the moment, we had a few sponsors, but it's most by event basis. So like, say we have a University Students League, there will be a sponsor. There's a national tournament, there'll be a sponsor, but even though the government still supports, but still it's too small to develop. But yeah, we're approaching. Hopefully there's a few multinational companies, they have shown their interest. We're just following up on that.
Sure, watch this space. So just on that government funding you mentioned, you said it was mainly event based.
Yeah.
Are there any, I guess, funding streams available on a more permanent basis that you're looking at?
From the government, we're lobbying. Usually they would make a high performance budget for like 1 year or 1.5 years, but that's if the game is played in the SEA Games or in the Asian Games or in the Olympics. So if those moments happen, it's quite good, because the funding is big also, they get salaries and everything. But for us, we can't rely on that. We will still go towards sponsors. That's why we're building our social media awareness and making the platform. Because as I said, we started this in the last 4 years, and that was for making the base. Now we have to speed up.
Sure. I guess you just mentioned those multi-sport tournament games.
Yes.
How important are they for your development, like the Asian Games, the Olympics, all that?
It's quite important, because it's between the province. When this game happens, every province will, province government will give their province a high performance budget, which is quite good for they get allowance, they get salary, they get everything. So it develops their skills, they get focused in training, which benefits the national team in the end. But there's another interesting thing, because next national games will be in Papua. Have you heard Papua Island?
Yes.
Yes. And they're constructing two grounds there. The local government is constructing. It's cost, two grounds are cost $1.8 million. Even though the ground is very far, but they have the interest to build the infrastructure. So I think it has become in the plans of the Indonesian sports development, which was our main aim to bring it in. And that it boosts a lot. It boosts the cricket a lot.
You just mentioned, I guess, how the game's being spread across. I mean, there's a lot of islands in Indonesia. How are you guys approaching this challenge? Because it's difficult, I guess, to reach all of the islands. How are you? Yeah, how are you trying to spread the game across the whole country?
That's a very good question. It is a challenge because of the islands. But it's lucky the culture in Indonesia, they have the accepting culture, and being able to accept the game and the importance of playing in the national game. For the each province, they have their own pride. They're developing by themselves. We're monitoring it. Of course, we have to travel from island to island, from island to island. We have coaches in the from the central board. We deploy to all the provinces. And even though when we have a national championship of cricket, even though it costs them a lot to come to any place, any of the cities, because it's between islands, they're able to attend. At least one tournament will be attended by 10 province, male and female teams. So it's happening automatically, I would say.
Yeah.
That means the spirit is high from them.
Could you give us a bit of an overview of the, I guess, the makeup of the domestic teams? Is it mainly local Indonesians, or are there a lot of expats?
If the local teams, province teams, they're 100% local. Our only expats are in the Jakarta Cricket League and in the Bali Cricket League. That's the thing, because the local games, the national games, is only allowed for the citizens. So that's also interesting. As I said earlier, in the last 4 years, from 80,000 people we introduced, 8,000 are playing. It's it's going on.
So I guess the team here at the qualifiers is entirely Indonesian. Is that a conscious selection policy, or is it just that the best 11 happen to be Indonesian?
We made a camp. Camp was more than 30 players. Expats were also there. Our coach Andy Cottam was quite strict with the camp that everybody has to be passing the selection. So many expats failed to pass the selection because he didn't give anybody privilege. He wants a fighting team who can fight and be a long-term project. We are not. We have no issues with the expats. We are okay to receive them if they're good, but they also have to follow the training schedule.
Yep.
So it was as simple as that.
Yeah, sure, no worries. And just on Andy, Andy Cottam, the coach, and one of your admins, Steve, are both here on a volunteer program from the Australian government. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yes, they're here from a volunteer program. They were here earlier as well, and then when the contract finished, they seem to be loving the team, the development. So they asked to be part of the team again. I said, I'm more than happy, especially I like the way Andy coaches. He mixes with the boys and everything. And I think Andy is a good coach, and he can bring the Indonesians ahead. Especially when I see their performance today compared to the last EAP. So I think they're doing quite well.
So is this sort of connection with maybe Australian coaches, is this something you're looking to continue, or are you trying to train up some local coaches as well?
Well, the Australian government, or the AVI and the Australian government itself, they have supported us a lot in the past, and we would love to have as much as coaches as possible, but in the same time we want these foreign coaches to also transfer the knowledge to the local coaches, because we need a lot of coaches. Indonesia, we have every province has one team, every region has one team, so one province might have five regions. So there's 80 or 90 teams.
Yeah.
So we need a lot of coaches.
Yeah, sure. You mentioned all these different provinces. All the different cultures and languages, how is maybe the Australians and Andy, how are they handling the language barrier and the culture barrier?
Yes, that they thought it would have been a problem, but it happens to be they're able to mingle very fast. Even earlier, before Andy, there were a few Australians who came, but they mingled very fast and they got along with the boys. Indonesia is a very welcome culture, so I think it works out.
Yeah, no worries. A little earlier, you were talking about the sense of fair play, and I guess that ties into the spirit of cricket.
Yeah.
How have you guys been, I guess, trying to foster that in the cricketers in Indonesia?
Yeah, fair play is very important, and being free from drugs and criminality is one of the main steps to become a fair play player before you're actually on the ground. So that is what we tell to them. Discipline is very important. And of course, in the ground, you have to win with a style. You know. You can't win with cheating.
Yeah.
So all these kind of things we have encouraged.
So would you say this, focus on discipline has helped them in their character off the field as well?
Yeah. I've been seeing their changes. It has been impacting since they played cricket, playing cricket now, and then since they started to play cricket, their attitude is changing. It's quite good.
Yeah, that is good to hear. Just going back to the Olympics, it's one of the, long-term goals of the ICC is to try and get cricket in the Olympics. Does Indonesia have any funding available specifically for Olympic sports that you guys could access if you got into the Olympics?
Yeah, because our government will support high-performance camp for any sports that qualify for the Olympics. So as long as we qualify, they will support.
Yeah, right. And as well, just with the women's side that you've mentioned, how is that going? And perhaps as an additional question, Indonesia is perhaps quite a conservative country in terms of gender roles.
Yes.
How does cricket play into that?
It's interesting. In Indonesia, the women's, they've been praised by many countries as well. And the amount is a lot. And players with the hijab are dominating as well. Even our captain is with the hijab. So it's still been accepted well, and I don't think so. Cricket discriminates anything, so it's a perfect game for them. And I think in my national team there's about 6 players with hijab, and that is how Indonesian culture accepts. It's a very plural country, even though it's a majority Muslim, but we are not a Muslim country, and we accept everything which is positive. So that's how the Indonesian culture is, and cricket is. Even we're planning to bring in cricket into madrasas, the Muslim boarding house. We're planning to bring it into there, and this is one of the plans, because in the madrasas they stay in one compound, they study the Islam, and an alternative thing to do for a hobby, we want to teach them cricket. And I think many Muslims from the Islamic schools will be the future cricketers of Indonesia as well.
Could you talk us a bit through the plans to get into those madrasas?
Yeah, we socialize already. Some madrasas we've already been bringing cricket, but we are aiming to make it more and more in most of the provinces. In fact, we had a program with the UN Women, and we socialize cricket to the madrasas, pesantrens, and throughout Indonesia. And they're accepting, even the Muslim leaders, they're accepting. So sports, this is language of sports.
Yeah, sure. I guess you've talked a bit about how you're growing the local playing base. Mm-hmm. What are maybe some of the challenges with cricket getting into the national consciousness?
Challenging is always funding. Like, and especially in a country like Indonesia, which this is all islands, and there's a lot of rural areas. We have players coming. There's an interesting story that one of my bowler here, he comes to play in Jakarta League every weekend from his village. So he will take a speedboat from NTT, a 3-hour speedboat,
wow,
and then another 2-hour flight, another 1-hour traffic.
Gee.
Just to play cricket.
Yeah, that's
we had another story from Lampung, is the southeast part of Sumatra Island. They drove by car, the team, 2 cars, they drove by themselves all the way to Bali, crossing the Java Island, just to play a match.
Wow. So
funding is always the main issue. If we can make a bigger funding, of course I assume the cricketers will develop automatically in a faster speed. So I think that's the main challenge.
You've talked a bit about Bali.
Yeah.
And it seems like a lot of the cricket is centered there.
Yeah.
Is that, would you say, to do with the strong, I guess, Australian connection there, or is it just happened to grow there?
It started with the Australian connections, I must admit, and then it grew itself. But recently we have another island called Borneo, Kalimantan, East Kalimantan. They're growing like Bali is growing as well, without any foreign presence. But yeah, Bali, I think the influence and the help from the Australian community especially was very, very valuable. And it started 25 years ago, so it has been taking a time, and that's why they're more developed in cricket at the moment, I must admit that.
The Filipino team have a few Filipinos who were born in Australia and learnt their cricket there. Has Indonesia got any similar players that you're looking at recruiting or not?
You mean foreigners who are born here?
Indonesians who are born overseas.
Yeah, we're looking for that. Especially we're looking for the Indonesians who are studying abroad. And we have one, but unfortunately he wasn't able to join here. He plays in Australia. He was injured, so he wasn't able to come. But we are scouting on that. Hopefully we can find a few of those as well.
Yeah, sure.
Because experience helps, right?
Yeah, it certainly does. The ICC, as we just talked about them with the T20 international status, but they've recently, with the 50-over game, changed the pathway. So it seems like the 20-over game is being pushed very heavily as the main format for development. How's that, I guess, affecting you guys in your competitions?
Well, yeah, that was how it was presented in the last ICC meeting. And I think Indonesians, they prefer playing T20s. So, yeah, we are happy with the if ICC is promoting T20, especially for T20 women.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's good because it's a shorter match and, you know, it'll attract more sponsors. I agree with the plan.
So you think it's a better fit for the Indonesian market?
At the moment, yeah. I'm not sure after 5 years, but at the moment, yeah.
Going back to the team on the field, what are some of the players that we should be looking out for?
In the sense, dangerous players?
Yeah.
They're all dangerous young boys. But we have a fast bowler, his name is Mexico, that's the one who goes with the speedboat. And then we have our player number 4, his name is Dhoni. Happens to be the same name as the Indian player Dhoni. He's our big hitter. And then we have Kuruba. These are some important players. However, we're good in bowling. It's quite equal. Our youngest player is 17, by the way.
Wow. Just, I guess, before this this tournament started, you mentioned some of the training camps you had. What were some of the, I guess, some of the things that you guys were training, like what were you working on to improve, and what were some of the key areas that the coaching staff identified?
Fielding. Fielding was what we were going to work on, and I think we still need to work on more of it. But yeah, fielding, because they haven't got enough matches which are higher level, right? So yeah, I think fielding was one thing where we were working on, and we will still be working on.
Quite a few of the teams have mentioned fielding as a priority, and I guess, yeah, there's been a few drop catches that have cost a lot of runs.
True.
So have you guys, how would you say you guys are sticking to your plans with that?
Yeah, well, now the match is on, we have to stick to it, but after going back home, they have to work again on fielding and batting also, I forgot batting. Because they can bat, but they still need to calculate, you know, how the game, structure the game, and game structuring.
Yeah, building an innings.
Yes, building the innings.
Yeah, and that pretty much wraps up my questions, actually. So thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you
very much. Yeah, thanks. We'll talk later.
Sure.